I didn't want to be an open book, and it kind of just, eventually it was weighing on me and I decided to be one. So
DJ Della Vigna here with Love Letters from the Submind, a weekly public affairs program. We feature music and lots of interviews and live guests, transgender, queer, LGBT, and social justice programming. So underneath me, we were listening to Coast Daylight album that was put out not too long ago with our featured guitarist guest here. Michelle Rosenblum is in the studio, Studio A, and she's ready to hit it with some finger picking and show her some of her newest songs. And she comes up from Ventura. I'm just going to introduce her right now. We're going to bring her up. Very nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You're not playing live anywhere these days? Or?
I've been playing live online. Uh-huh. I'm doing micro concerts on Facebook Live and on Periscope. But I do have intentions of playing out locally again. I've been having some success online and playing for people in different countries, and it's hard to do that at your local bar. So,
But you played in Ojai and Ventura and played with different bands and and solo and stuff. You used to play a gig on Tuesday evenings in a place down in Ventura, and you were at Frescos, you said?
That's right. I had a residency. I was doing, like, similar to what I'm doing today, like finger style and some jazz with a friend, a duo, instrumental. But I've also been involved in, like, the album you were just referring to was a bluegrass project, or they call it newgrass, too. It's kind of a little more progressive, or chords you don't kind of see in normal bluegrass. But I've been in singer-songwriter kind of bands, rock and roll bands, indie bands. I've done it all. Right now, I'm really digging doing my fingerstyle guitar.
We're happy to have you on. Why don't we just start with a song and let the listeners feed off of that? What do you have playing? What do you have lined up?
This first song I'd like to do is actually an original song, and it might be one of the only original songs I'm playing today, but it's a song that I was inspired by a Jerry Reed lick, and I kind of built a song around this lick. And Jerry Reed's one of my heroes, played with Chet Atkins and has inspired a lot of other great players like Tommy Emmanuel and stuff. So I'll actually play one of Jerry's songs later, but this song is called Reed Stump, named after Jerry Reed. Okay?
Terrific. Michelle Rosenblum, live, Studio A, KCSB. Michelle Rosenblum here live, right. Studio A, KCSB. We are Love Letters from the Submind. Thank you so much. Michelle playing a little tune. It was her own original tune. Just to let you know, we had played an album, a song previously that. It was called Coast Daylight. New tunes for an American string band, and Michelle is featured guitarist on that.
That was a lot of fun, that project.
Was it? How long ago was that?
Oh, let's see. I think we got the album out on... it must have been around this time, in 2014. So I guess it's been a couple of years now.
John Dickerson was on banjo, Max Dickerson mandolin, Laura Donahue fiddle, and Michael Spoda acoustic bass guitar.
Yeah,
well,
Michael Spoda. Yeah, Spoda. They're all terrific players.
Okay.
It was really a treat to be able to play with all of them. So I started in a band that we played with this guy, Jeff Uzzell. It's kind of a singer-songwriter kind of band, played up in Ojai. And the bass player in that band was Max, who you just mentioned. And he was also a mandolin player. And I'm really big into David Grisman and Tony Rice and those kind of guys. And so was he. And so we kind of started a little side project, just me on guitar and him on mandolin. And next thing you know, we started writing songs. And then his dad plays the banjo. Max also graduated from Musicians Institute, so he knows what he's doing. His dad's been playing banjo for like 40 years or something, so he was top-notch player. And we started writing songs with him, and he's all, hey, I know a fiddle player, and I know a bass player. So in come Michael and Lauren. We just wanted to record an album, and that's what we did. So... just so much fun. You know, we recorded that up at Brethren Studios in Ojai. We kind of had this thing where we would write two or three songs and then we would go record it. Then we would go back and write two or three more songs and then go record it. And about after a year, we had an album's worth of songs. And that was the finished piece for you right there.
Really? Yeah, it says on the headlines here, in 1975... a majestic steam locomotive traveled down the Central Coast. The American Freedom Train was rebuilt and repainted. Coast Daylight, which once ran the same route between San Francisco and Los Angeles. In the same year, a landmark recording was beginning, also called New Acoustic Music by David Grisman. There ties in a little bit of connecting the dots with your influences, your style, and then where that came from. And, of course, dog music. David Grisman's.
And I heard about David Grisman through Jerry Garcia, because I'm a big fan of the Grateful Dead, and he was the mandolin player on a couple of their tunes, mm-hmm. And then him and Jerry went off and did their own stuff, and then...
Old and in the Way, classic album.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And then also there's the Pizza Tapes, I don't know if you know about those.
I've actually been re-listening to that.
Really terrific stuff.
They're laughing a lot in the studio, there's outtakes and stuff.
Yeah, and that's when I learned about Tony Rice, is through those Pizza Tapes. It was just so much fun, that kind of music really turns me on,
yeah.
You know? So, you know, they're just... that corner of my, you know, influences. I'm also big on Chet Atkins, Tommy Manuel, Jerry Reed.
Yeah, it just sounds like a Chet Atkins style. Sometimes you're finger picking and almost maybe a little Piedmont style. I don't know, kind of
sure.
Alternating finger picking there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a rich style. I like that. Yeah.
And when I was growing up, and that last song I just played was Reed Stomp. And Reed was for Jerry Reed, but Stomp was for, you know, the Led Zeppelin song, Bron Yar Stomp. So I kind of put the two together because my first fingerstyle experiences was really probably through Jimmy Page and his playing. You know, when people hear Classical Gas and Eric Clapton and whatnot, and you just keep going far and further enough down that rabbit hole and you start finding all these other really great guys.
Do you want to play another song or you want to talk more?
Let's play another song.
Okay, what's this?
I don't know yet. Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, for this one, I just played this one a little bit on my last micro concert on Wednesday, so just a couple days ago, but it's a Beatles tune, and I felt like it was pretty, especially on Wednesday, it was a good song with all the things going on with the election and whatnot, thinking about just a few days ago, so This song's called Yesterday.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
We were kind of debating, commenting over here how elegantly crisp and the tonal qualities and the acoustics you have on there. You have some magic coming out of that guitar. Tell us about your guitar. Anything special?
Oh, definitely special. This is a LaRavie guitar. It was made here in Oxnard. They've been here for a while. They're actually a Canadian company. They were up in Vancouver. But they moved down to Oxnard, of all places, and apparently we have very nice weather for guitars, the humidity and whatnot. A Cordoba factory is right next door, too. So, LaRavie, I've always known that there was a guitar factory around here. I didn't know their name. And I used to have a Martin acoustic, and I played it so much that I wore the frets down. And so it was time to get new frets, and that was going to cost some money. And my pal, Tim Gibson, used to work on guitars in this area, but he moved away. So I was like, well, my guitar needs work, and my guy moved away, so maybe it's time to get a new guitar. Any excuse to get a new guitar is a good one. So I went around. I went to a lot of different places. I was playing Martins, I was playing Taylors, Gibsons and Guilds, you name it. And you know, nothing, at least for my price range, was quite what I wanted. And so I called. I was like, well, maybe just out of luck, this local factory will have a good guitar. It turned out to be LaRavie, and I was quite surprised. And I got to meet the owners and got to see the factory. It was really special. And I told them what I was looking for, and they brought this guitar out. And I fell in love right away. I sold my Martin and I bought this one. It's been with me ever since.
That's saying something for a Martin, because a lot of people just swear by them. Searching, you know, you're looking for that right sound, and then as your styles and tastes change. And,
that's right.
And I guess a new guitar takes you to new places, too.
It does. I remember especially when I was first learning how to play, you know, I had the same beginner guitar for the longest time. And I definitely outgrew it, and I didn't know it at the time, but when I went to the store and it was time to buy a new guitar, as soon as I picked up a new guitar, it was like, oh, I've been missing out, you know? And by having a better guitar, it allowed me to become better also. You know, but with picking the guitar, I remember very clearly, I wanted it, one, it has to sound good, and a really close second is how well does it play? And if it sounds really good, but if it's really difficult to play on, then what good does it do you? And then third, I wanted it to look pretty too, but that one wasn't as close as the other two. And with the Martins, at least for the price range I was looking at, it was like, I could get it to sound really good, and the Taylors played really good, but didn't sound like I wanted them to. And I wanted that. I wanted both of them. And this one was it. And it's local. I can go back to the factory. I've had students go there and get more guitars from them. And they're just great. They installed my pickup that I'm using today. You know, if I need work done, I just take it to the place that made it. So I can't get much more spoiled, really.
On KCSB's Facebook site, we kind of pre-promoted this and distributed it around, so that was great. Thank you to the digital goddess and the team, KCSB. I just want to let you know we have Manny, our engineer, helping out today. I feel really blessed.
Yeah.
He's taking care of all the on our new board. And we also have our KCSB film crew here. Eric is in the house, and he's doing some videos. I'm really impressed by your social platform and your marketing.
Okay.
You know, and I think it's very inspirational for people who are artists. And how did that come about? You just have a natural knack for developing websites, and you're doing Skypes and webinars. And
well, just trying to stay ahead, right? Evolve or die. I think that's Timothy Leary quote. You know, I've been doing web stuff for a long time. I remember making a GeoCities page. I always forget if it's GeoCities or GeoSites. But anyways, you know, back in the 90s, making pages for the cartoons that I liked or whatever. And I've always kind of just been making websites ever since. All of the jobs I've ever had have always, you know, given me new skills and experience to be able to go do other stuff. And so I've had jobs in sales, and I've had jobs in marketing. I've had jobs in tech. And I've been playing the guitar the whole time. So it's like, well, let's just combine it all. And I kind of had all the pieces I needed to just make my own business. You know, it's not easy making money as a guitarist. And going on tour seems to be like a real big to-do and a really big risk also. And, you know, I have a baby girl. You know,
What's your girl's name?
Her name is Jackaro.
Oh, no kidding.
Uh-huh. It's actually a Grateful Dead song.
It is indeed.
It's a super ancient song, actually, and Joan Baez and Bob Dylan have done it also. But, of course, I learned it from the Grateful Dead, and there's a whole story behind that, but I won't get into that today.
Oh, we have lots of Dead fans. We have a little under the counter thing. We say we're playing Dead Air, and people tune in.
So oh, I love
we have many them. DJs that play Dead Air.
I was listening to Working Man's Dead on the way here. I love that album. The one that came out before American Beauty. But anyways, my web stuff. So, you know, especially as an artist and with all the tools that are available to us online, I really feel like touring is just not the only way to go anymore, and maybe it's a dying thing to do unless you're already quite big. Or if that's what you want to do and you have a van and you're going to take the band and go, but as a solo musician and stuff, I'd rather just see what I can do online. And it's all about content marketing, right? So you give away so many things for free, and, you know, eventually you get clients and what have you.
Yes, value-added content.
Yeah. Yes. So I've been doing...
Oh, you're a remarkable teacher, too, here.
Oh, well, thank you. I've been teaching full-time now for 6 or 7 years. I started out driving to my students' homes. It's my own business, so I'd find my own clientele and what have you, and I'd go, you know, drive around. I was all over Ventura County. I was as far as Ojai and as far as Agoura, even. I was out in Moorpark, Fillmore, Santa Paula, you name it. I've had about 120 students, and some of them are still with me from the very beginning. So if you're listening out there, you know who you are. Thank you. Yeah, you know, that too has allowed me to do my things online also, because, you know, I'm not afraid to go meet with somebody who's a total beginner or who's even been playing for 20 years and play with them and just jump in and see what they can do and play on their level and help them go wherever they want to go. I was really encouraged when I first started this teaching, not just the online stuff, but just teaching altogether. I was working, I had a marketing job, and I really wanted to go on my own and be my own boss. The first thing I did was I looked up all my competition around. I saw how much they were charging, that kind of thing. And I was like, well, I could do this. And none of them were driving around. So I kind of got the niche of traveling guitar teacher. And people really loved that. And I got students very quickly for it. With teaching, you know, I found so many students that left other teachers. And they wanted to come with me because the teachers they had, they were all teaching them songs that they didn't even know. They've never heard them before. They said, oh, well, you know, these songs teach you the basics, so you gotta learn them. And to me, I feel like I get what they're where they're going with that, but for me, it was all about, no, let's learn the songs you already know. You know, what CD's in your car? What's the last concert you went to? You know, let's learn those songs. They're already up in your head, you know? And I'm quick enough at listening to a song and figuring out the chord changes and what have you, or we can look them up online, but I was teaching little girls Taylor Swift songs, or I was teaching Led Zeppelin songs to other guys, or finger-picking songs, or heavy metal songs. It didn't matter. It's about what they want to learn. And then I help them get there. And if they have no idea, then okay, I'll help guide it. But, you know, that's my teaching style. It's about them. And it's just surprising how many people are kind of, my friend's going to laugh, they're such a stick in the mud, about what needs to be taught and when and in what order and all those things. Music shouldn't be like that, I feel like.
Well, you definitely have an aliveness to you, and just the brief instruction you gave me, it was a lot of freedom just to be musical. You know, I remember bringing my ukulele out and just get a couple of chords, and we were making music, so it was really splendid.
It's a lot of fun, and one of my favorite parts is when I have students start improvising for the first time. You know, I'm playing chords and they're playing chords. We're going back and forth, but next thing they know, I've had students even on their first lesson, we're already starting to jam on a simple scale and they're just getting to it and we're just trading licks and you just build off of that. And they thought they weren't even artistic or musical or whatever. And here they are improvising blues licks, like, you know, in their first month of playing. So that's a lot of fun. The joy that's on their face, they're like, oh, that's what you do? You learn the scale and you put it right here at the right time and this happens? Like, they thought it was, you know, wizardry or something.
It still is for me.
It really is, huh?
Well, you are quite great to be here. Just to remind everybody, we're speaking with Michelle Rosenblum, a.k.a. Melody Bird. What is the Melody Bird? Do you want to comment on that?
Sure. My name is Michelle. I actually got my middle name changed to Bird, but Melody Bird is basically, that's my branding. That's my, you know, I can go use that name for my website. That's my Twitter name, my Facebook, all that stuff. And it's really just branding. You know, it's something that I can tie to, and I really like the imagery. I think there's music everywhere if you just listen for it, and birds are very musical. And some of it too, I was looking at songbird and bird song, that kind of thing, and some of it had to do with what domain names were already taken and stuff. So it's like, well, I want to go down this direction, but let's see if I did try to market this, like, what's already stuck with all that stuff. And all those things were taken, and lo and behold, melodybird.com was available, so I bought it and I rolled with it. And then the imagery from it has been really great. I've had a really beautiful logo designed. And, you know, just I want to be free as a bird with my music and sing melodies on my guitar, at least.
Well, you're free to give us a few more licks here.
Sure.
For our KCSB audience, we're with Michelle Rosenblum, Melody Bird here, broadcasting Studio A, KCSB. This is Love Letters from the Submind.
Okay. My friend Eric came with me here today, and I used to be a roommate when I lived over in Camarillo, and the poor guy had to put up with me playing the same songs over and over and over again, because that's what it takes to learn some of these songs, and it's a real detriment to your roommates, so, you know, you should go out and get a studio, but I didn't, and so this next song is dedicated to Eric. Here it goes. It's a Chet Atkins tune.
Beautiful.
Thank
you. What was the name of that tune? That was a Chet Atkins tune, right?
Yeah, that song's called Borsellino. And he recorded that one with Tommy Emmanuel on an album called Finger Pickers Take Over the World. I think I'm saying that right. And if I remember correctly, that's actually the first track on the album. But that song actually means a lot to me because, you know, I had been playing different kinds of music for a while. You know, I haven't been playing fingerstyle my whole guitar career. I remember back when I was 15 or so, I tried looking into Chet Atkins songs and they were just way over my head. I didn't know what was going on. And I kind of turned away from that music for a while. And I don't know what got into me, but I started looking into it again. And I saw a YouTube video of Tommy Emmanuel playing that song and it just blew my mind. And I didn't know what he was doing on the guitar and why it worked and why it sounded so good. And so I just had to learn it. I was like, you know, and by then I was already starting to teach, and I felt like if I'm going to teach and I'm going to make a career out of this, then I should be able to play all the songs that I think are really great. So I went for it and I learned that song. It took quite a long time. My buddy Eric could tell you. That was just special because it opened up the doors to all these other songs that I've been playing, and it just made it magical again. It's like after like 16 years of playing or something, like all of a sudden you hear something and it's magic again. You know, it's like, okay, well, I'll keep going down that road for sure.
Yeah, I've always really loved Chet Atkins and his guitar. I remember he did one with Mark Knopfler.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a really fun one because they were dueling and
playing. And they're bantering and stuff too. That's a fun album. It's on Spotify, actually. I was listening to it pretty recently.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I love that one, and then all the stuff he did with Jerry Reed too. It's just so fun. I always say, geez, if you could play the guitar like that, wouldn't you want to just play all day? You know, but the trick is you have to play all day to sound like that.
Hey, just to mention, you know, on your website, Melody Bird.
Sure.
You said, I help adults learn to play guitar by giving Skype lessons and webinars. I'm a fingerstyle guitarist, transgender, a mommy, and an open book.
That's
right.
You
want to talk a little about being an open book?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what got me here, huh?
Yeah. The show that we feature transgender and queer issues and people, and we're opening up the community to that, and so we're all inclusive. And
it's really something. I have a good story to tell, but, you know, I feel like I didn't want to be an open book, and it kind of just, eventually it was weighing on me, and I decided to be one, so... You know, I recently transitioned. You know, the word transgender wasn't even in my vocabulary until about 2 years ago. It wasn't in a lot of people's vocabulary, really. You know, but I've had feelings for a long time that led me to this, but I never had the right cubbyhole for it. And certain circumstances led to me coming out. Some of it was more forceful than I would have liked. You know, I was outed and things like that. And it was like, well, I don't have anything to really hide anyways. And so I decided to become an open book. And, well, yeah, everybody could just know, you know? And before I realized I was transgender, I was closeted. I was more sneaky about stuff and preferences that I had or whatever. You know, I didn't know that I was doing that at the time, though I wasn't very conscious of that. But looking back, that's what I was doing. And it was such a relief to not have to hide what kind of clothes I like to wear or how I like to wear my hair or any of that stuff. You know, once I started doing it, you know, other things started happening too. You know, I realized that a lot of people aren't as bad as I thought they were. You know, a lot of friends came out of the woodwork that I didn't know would be supportive. I'm not going to say it's been easy, but I've had a very great time, actually, in transitioning. It's still difficult, even though I'm one of the lucky ones with the support that I've had. But, you know, in coming out and in having conversations with people, it made everything okay. Because if I was just going to hide it, I'd be like, well, this is what I'm doing, but I don't want to talk about it. You know, it's kind of like, well, is there something that I should be worried about then? Or not me, but I'm trying to think of what's going through their heads or whatever. And so... by talking about it, people go, oh, that's what it is? Like, oh, well, what's the big deal kind of thing?
I get that a lot, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's really great. It's courageous, and it's an authentic gesture. Good, live your life, and, you know, you have so many gifts, so
well, thank you.
Why hide the rest of it, you know? So
yeah, you know, and if you're hiding so much of who you want to be, then how can the other things in your life flourish the way that they need to? You know, it's synergy. It all needs to work together, and we like to think we can do everything, but we can't. So you might as well just do what you got.
Right. Well, there's a pretty thriving transgender community in Ventura that's up and coming. I know there's TDORs coming up, Transgender Day of Remembrance in Ventura and Santa
Barbara.
That's right. You wanted to make a pitch for that at all?
Yes. I believe it's going to be on the 19th, the Saturday, at least in Ventura. I don't know about the Santa Barbara.
Ours is on the 20th.
I think the day is the 20th,
yeah.
But I believe the 19th, the Saturday, is when the Ventura event is going to be held.
Right.
If I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be at this place in Ventura next to Salzer's Records called A Place for Peace. I really think it's a great thing. It's probably going to be really sad because the day is, it's not just celebrating trans people, it's, you know, remembering all those that got murdered or commit suicide this year.
Yeah, and it's a somber event.
It is.
Usually candlelit, people speak out names of the fallen, and
I'm probably going to cry.
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing there. I'm going to play one song. And I think I'll be playing that song. Well, geez, I guess I might as well just play it next, huh? So you guys get a taste for it, too.
Let's do it, yeah.
I'm going to need to put my capo on.
Yeah, we're speaking with Melody Bird. She's performing here live at KCSB Studio A. Manny, the engineer, is in the house, playing some guitar and talking about living life transgender as well. Here on Love Letters from the Submind.
I think it's a good song for the trans story. It's part of your world. It's the Little Mermaid song. And it's about, if any of you remember the Disney movie, it's about a girl who didn't feel like she was in the right place and wanted to be someone different to go be in the place she wanted to be. And it's got some sad parts to it, but it's also got some inspiring parts too, I feel like. So I like to end things on a good, magical note. So here it is. Thank you.
beautiful.
Thank you.
Michelle Rosenblum here in Studio A, live, KCSB. What was the name of that song again?
That was Part of Your World. And that's, I arranged that song. So, you know, it was written for the Disney movie, but I watched the Disney movie over and over on YouTube and figured it out. But that song is special. It's kind of funny that since I've transitioned and, you know, being on hormones and stuff, gotten more emotional, and now I cry on Disney movies, so I guess that's part of being an open book, because I get to tell everybody I cry in Disney movies.
I cry in any movie.
Any movie?
It just seems like it. I don't know why.
Yeah. I got interviewed. I'm going to be in the VC Reporter, I think, this next issue. And now I'm on the radio. It's like, well, I think I can start going and doing my part, being transgender. And there's only so many trans people, too, that are still out there in the public and doing their thing and having their careers and whatnot. There's so many that are at home, or they have, you know, they don't have the support, so they are depressed or whatever. And it's like, well, if I'm doing well, then I should go out and show everybody, right? It's like the Wild West still. Like, people, yeah, they're starting to hear that word transgender, but a lot of them still don't know what it means.
Yeah.
You know, everything gets lumped together, drag queens, crossdressers,
right.
And, you know, in my head, it's like, I remember telling my parents I'm trans, and they looked at me like, well, what does that even mean? And I'm like, and here I am, like, for the last, like, year or whatever, I've been every night researching it. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what it means? But, you know, I had to just tell them what was going on and, you know, let them know it's not just Rocky Horror Picture Show or whatever. It's just trying to be a normal person, you know, and fit in. It's reminding me of a story. Last night, I wonder if they're listening. I have some students. I won't say their names. They're Mormon, and I don't know much about the Mormon faith or religion. I had them as students before I transitioned. Everything was hunky-dory, and one day I decided, you know, I'm far enough now, I'm not going to hide who I am to any of my clients or anybody, and so I made a nice message, and I had sent it to all my students. I copied and pasted it to everybody. They all got the same one, basically saying, I'm confident in who I am. This is what I'm doing with my life. I'm also professional, and if that doesn't fit for your family dynamic or whatever, I had other teachers that I would have recommended and whatnot. I actually didn't lose any clientele because of that. I was really worried about some of my more religious students, but they surprisingly ended up being very accepting. And that was a little while ago, because I've been out for a while now, but, you know, I found it, like, we had a conversation last night and new conversations coming up because of this election and whatnot. And it was really kind of an eye-opener. You know, I was told that, you know, when I first sent that message out, they weren't sure what to think. And, you know, I'm teaching their kids, you know, and they were hesitant. They were going back and forth. The whole family had to have conversations about how they were going to move forward with guitar lessons and whatnot. You know, they pretty quickly told me they wanted to keep me on, but there was, you know, uncertainty there. And I feel like the way that I held myself together and I kept teaching them, and they were really lovely, and we all got along just fine. And last night I was told that, you know, they were, not too long ago, you know, going around knocking on doors so that they could, you know, get gay marriage not passed. Here now they have a transgender guitar teacher teaching their little kids how to play guitar. And they told me that really they had just never been exposed to it and they didn't know what it was like. Now they feel like people should just be who they want to be as long as they're not hurting anybody else. And that was just so...
That's touching, yeah.
It really is. And it's just last night I had this conversation. I'm still, like, processing it in my head, but it's like, I feel like that comes from being an open book and telling people who you are. And so now I feel like I kind of have an obligation to put myself out there. You know, now that I've started, I gotta keep going. And it's helping people, and I feel good doing that too.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you.
We do have time maybe for one more song.
Okay.
And, you know, please talk about, you have a website, you know, you do lessons and things.
I give Skype lessons globally. I'm officially an international guitar teacher. I've had a student up in Canada, and I've been talking with people in Holland and Sweden and India. I've just started this adventure, so... yeah, go check out my website, melodybird.com.
You got any plans for playing live or collaborating with other musicians? I know you've been working on some songs, and you're going to be coming out with an album sometime?
Yeah, well, my goal has been every 2 weeks I've been putting out a new YouTube video for performance, guitar performance, and then every week, that's every other Friday, I'm doing a song. Today I just put out a song. I guess I should play that one, that we're talking about it.
Michelle Rosenblum.
Okay, so this is the newest song up on my website, and it's an oldie but a goodie, and here it goes.
Thank you, Melody Bird, Michelle Rosenblum, for coming in. Studio A, KCSB. Thank you, Manny, the engineer, Casey, assistant engineer. Thanks for Eric coming in and filming. Thank you for KCSB for awesome 50 years plus of great radio.